Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Eco Money on Money FM 89.3, where we bring you the latest in sustainability and finance. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, nature, as we know, is critical for human existence, but is under increasing stress because of us. Human activity, such as consumption, eating habits, and energy needs, has altered almost 75% of the Earth's surface. Well, on Eco Money, we've covered extensively climate-linked products, ESG-related investments, and so on. But today, let's take a deeper dive into the way that finance interacts with nature. Now, earlier this year, WWF issued a report called Nature is Too Big to Fail. Now, the report explores the twin emergencies, as they put it, facing humanity, and they're talking about the loss of nature and climate change. And today we're joined by Anders Nordheim, and he's the Vice President of Sustainable Finance at WWF. Singapore. Anders, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rachel. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's absolutely wonderful to have you with us. Anders, tell us a little bit more about what's highlighted in this report. You know, as we're coming to the year end, it is the festive season. It's also a season where we tend to consume more than usual. But let's talk about biodiversity. And biodiversity loss equals economic loss and financial risk, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's what we increasingly find, Rachel. So the financial products that you and solutions that you referred to earlier, like climate bonds and ESG funds, often focus on climate and climate change as an issue for investors. But increasingly find is that climate is not the full story. There's an increasing understanding that there are limits to nature's ability to continue to provide the goods and services that we need to live our healthy and prosperous lives. And nature degradation and destruction has a significant effect on economies. So the report, Nature is Too Big to Fail, which was published earlier by WWF and PwC, explores this relationship by detailing just how interconnected our economies are to nature. We depend so heavily on healthy and well-functioning ecosystems for a range of inputs to production. And if that nature loss causes these inputs to fail or to diminish, then the foundation for economic resilience in economies and economic growth is compromised. And you can think about some specific sectors where it's easy to get that link, like in forestry or in agriculture or fishing, where you have that direct link. But even in other sectors like pharmaceuticals, they depend really heavily on nature for innovation. Hydropower production requires stable and predictable flow of water, which is enabled by ecosystems. So you add all of this up and you get to this tremendous figure that the World Economic Forum came up with, where up to $44 trillion worth of economic value generation is dependent on nature. That's 50% of world GDP.
That is a staggering figure, Anders.
They have to take this into account into their decision-making. But it's not just a risk side, it's also an opportunity side. And that's really important to keep in mind.
So let's talk about those opportunities and perhaps look at consumerism and investment and how these really go hand in hand and the opportunities there for these two areas to help tackle issues such as tropical deforestation, as you've earlier mentioned.
Yeah, so tropical deforestation, we know already, is one of the key drivers of nature loss globally. And just breaking this down, the main drivers are three commodities: palm oil, soy, and beef. And palm oil is a well-discussed and debated topic, especially in this region. Mm-hmm. So as consumers and investors, we're able to influence both the demand side and the supply side of these issues. As consumers, we make choices every day. So the climate footprint and nature impact of the products we consume can be part of that decision to what we want to consume. And especially now during the festive season, we can look at choosing products with sustainability certifications. We can reduce our production of animal products, and we can also reduce waste. On the investment side, we do see some financial institutions strategically incorporating ESG assessments into their decision making in order to manage that risk and unlock opportunities, but many do not. So WWF Singapore recently published, as part of their new SASBA report, an assessment of banks' policies also in high-risk sectors like palm oil and energy. And having a no deforestation policy is pretty commonplace now in international banks. But in ASEAN, it's quite interesting to see that many institutions acknowledge deforestation as a risk to their business, but really only a handful of them have public policies applied to their clients. And that makes it difficult for consumers and investors to make these right choices. You know, how do you know what financial institutions are doing if there's limited transparency?
And that said, Anders, what's your take on greenwashing this year? I mean, if we're looking at, as you mentioned, more consumers are looking to be more sustainable this year. Investors are looking for products that offer them that particular path. But on the back of that, obviously, we're seeing a flood of products come into the market claiming to perhaps be sustainable or go down that route. How concerned are you about this issue at the moment? And do you think it's gaining ground given we're seeing this push towards, as many people are terming, you know, build back better following this year of COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how the market for green or sustainable or ESG products has developed over the years that I've been part of this industry. And it's true that there are many different products and there are many different ways of measuring ESG or green, but I also think that you have to start somewhere and you have to start some green solutions. And it's difficult to get it perfect from day one. So I think that we are in a almost an explosion of solutions where things are coming from many different players in many different forms. And probably what we're going to see, just like with other financial products, is a little bit of a consolidation of methodologies and aspects. But I think for consumers, it's important to focus on the sort of well-recognized sustainability brands and the well-recognized sustainability certifications. Like in forests, FSC is a well-known and well-respected certification for sustainable forest products. These are the kind of signals that you can use when you make your purchasing choices.
So what do you think, what more do you think needs to be done? I mean, earlier we spoke about financial institutions starting to take a wider view on climate change and ESG. From your perspective, what more do you think needs to be done in that space?
I mean, one of the interesting things that we're seeing now just emerging is perhaps a much deeper commitment and flow into what we call nature-based solutions. And these are things like reforestation, smarter management of farmland, wetlands and peatlands, which together have a huge potential to help climate change and reverse nature loss. So we need to move away from the damaging effects of business as usual, for example, by using nature-based solutions. And we know from research from especially Inter-American Development Bank and the World Bank that avoiding these most environmentally and socially damaging projects often achieves faster delivery, higher financial returns, and better environmental outcomes. And also this WEF report that I've referred to earlier, it's part of a series called The New Nature Economy. And they identify trillions worth of dollars of investment potential that could create millions of jobs where, you know, we can work together to invest in nature positive developments, which will make the economies resilient to future shocks. And especially in this region, I mean, Asia is so exposed to the twin effects of climate change and nature loss. Flooding, drought, sea level rise, erosion, all of these things are so critical for this region to address.
And Anders, speaking of new alternatives, and developments within the sector. This is kind of going a little bit off tangent, but you know, this year on the back of the pandemic, governments around the globe have been exploring alternative supply chains, especially for when it comes to food, to ensure food security. And I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on shifting to unconventional food options, because we have seen an explosion of that here in Singapore as well. And earlier you spoke about palm oil, soy and beef. So what are your thoughts about unconventional food alternatives?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually pretty cool what we're seeing in the market these days. And there's lots of innovation coming from the food industry. Just recently, we saw the approval of lab-grown chicken meat for human consumption here in Singapore, which was, you know, a first in the world. So I think these and other innovations, using urban spaces for growing vegetables, or hydroponic farms, things like that, they're important contributions to shifting human consumption and production to more sustainable solutions, away from animal products towards healthier vegetable-based diets. But I'd also caution that technology, I think, is a complement to it. It's not a replacement for better agricultural practices, reduced consumption, and especially lowering of food waste. This is a big issue in Singapore. And really, by just reducing our food waste, we would be contributing a lot to solving some of these issues. So I think everybody, as individuals, consumers, investors, you need to be thinking about how you can contribute to this change, even in just a small way. You know, there's so many vegetarian and vegan options now that are just really delicious, and people should be exploring these and looking at sustainably certified seafood and stuff like that. This is really the time to act for people, because you've got so much choice.
So we could have a lab-grown turkey on the table this time next year for Christmas. Who knows? Anders, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Likewise, thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.